Good morning, Arthie.
Good morning.
It's a slightly different podcast. We don't have some celebrity to pull the weight for us in this episode. You're going to listen to me and Arthie a little bit this morning. And this is not a recap of Live Golf Us. Ben Kapinski
from the bounce
said it to me the best in one of our posts. He was like, I still feel like I'm coming down from something.
Yes.
And I think that's sort of where we are as well.
Correct.
And our opening statement to everybody here this morning is the golf held up. And that changes everything. Everyone expected a spectacle, but the quality of golf was just absolutely elite. And to me, this works because the golf works. Mm. And if you don't get the golf right, and if it's not entertaining, and the best players performing at the highest level, I personally believe everything else will sort of turn to fall flat.
Mm.
But Arthie, morning. And
good morning.
How was Liv for you?
So Carol got us a bit excited. I think chatting to her a little bit and giving us sort of a breakdown on how the event was going to be staged sort of got the vibes going, if you know what I mean. But I still didn't know what to expect. But once I got there, it was something that you hardly ever see. The setup of what they did at Live was unreal. I mean, they thought of everything. And the minute you literally start walking onto the golf course, the feeling you get is just a different feeling. Now, I've been to many tournaments around the world, big tournaments, and I really think that this has got a different feel to it. Yes, there's music in the background and, but the players, the way that they've just set up everything, the organization was just to the T, so smooth. It felt like it was a massive major run by the PGA Tour, if you get what I'm saying. And just, it was unreal. I don't even, it's hard to put it into words. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that too.
Yeah. Mm. And I mean, just on that point, and forgive us that we don't know all the people that's always involved in all of this. Mm. And our reference is Carol Lorenz and Chris Bentley and his executive team. And I know that there's a separate team on the entertainment side as well. And just a huge congratulations to all of you. What a massive success this was. And when that anthem was sang on the 18th hole, it was emotional, I think, for almost everybody around us that we could take this in. This is the type of hosting we did and how they pulled it off. And then to have an announcement on the Sunday that we're going to have a repeat 100% just excels the idea that this was one of the most successful events. For the owners and managers to already announce on Sunday, it just tells you what a pull power they've... I think they felt the same way.
I mean, I think, let's call it the whole group, just experienced from the Thursday to the Sunday on how great this tournament was. It's good for golf. It's good for the golf industry. It's good for many, many avenues. And I think Liv was surprised on how South Africa produced this tournament too.
Absolutely.
And well done to the team, because if it wasn't like that, they probably would have maybe not done it again, or they would have moved locations or ummed and ahed. And it would have been dumb not to do it again with the response to, let's call it, the South Africans attending the tournament. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, the amount of people there on Thursday.
Yeah.
Was mind-blowing. I mean, I remember we were standing there together. I think it was hole number three or four.
It was one, two, and then three.
But yeah. Bryson, DJ, and Louis playing, yeah. I think, together, yeah. On the first day.
Yeah.
And then you just saw from the tee all the kids running down the fairway or next to the fairway, and it was thousands. I mean, you don't see that.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see that at the Nedbank on a Sunday.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the Nedbank. I think the Nedbank has got a big job to do because that was our major.
Yeah.
And I feel like Liv has taken that over now. So it's going to be an interesting space to see how that response is. But it was just crazy. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and just on that point for me, because I think I won't speak for everybody, but that's where I come from. The people that paid the tickets and bought it.
The tickets already sold out.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, hours. You know, on the hospitality side. But everybody that bought the ground passes and were so respectful when the putts were made and the guys locked in for the putt or the chip or the... Just well done to all of us. You know, and I'm talking about not the hospitality ones, not the ones in all the influencers that were there and the celebrities that were there, Arthie. I'm talking about the everyday man, which we are part of, that arrived and put up the show. Because if you look at the pan of the cameras, it's the crowd that makes that look like it looked. You know, it wasn't the people in the boxes and all the, to me, those are the real heroes. How Correct. You handled yourself, and let's not talk about the four-ways boxes that, you know, and I say four-ways, I live here, hopefully it wasn't four-ways people, but I just think it was such a respectful event, how they arrived every day to put that effort in. It takes, it's a long day. It's a lot of walking. So congratulations to each one of you. I am just so super proud to be South African in all of that.
I mean, even John Rahm, sorry to
interrupt you. Yeah, no, not at all.
He literally said the amount of respect that the South Africans had for all the players, even though their home team is playing here, there was no booing, there was no...
No animosity.
Maybe there was a bit of funny banter
Of course. You know, that's part of us.
100%, which creates a bit of chias. But I reckon if you had to ask every single LIV player about that event, 99, except for the Australians, would say this is the biggest event, LIV event that they've ever had.
Yeah.
And probably their most favorite.
I think so too. Well, it came out in just in words that they actually spoke. I said to Monet, he's going to have a challenge on his editing this morning. So we are also still recovering a little bit from it, coming down from the high of LIV. My voice is a reflection of the LIV event. And so forgive us that we are going to have some random topics of conversation. But like I said right in the beginning, we want to highlight some people and some things that I don't think a lot of people are talking about. And I want to mention also that Scott Vincent from Zimbabwe, that placed 11th. I don't think a lot of people know that. But congratulations, Scott. What an incredible performance. And every Zimbabwean was incredibly proud of that moment. And obviously we know Burmi is an old Zimbo himself. And he was so emotional about the adoption of South Africans to him. But I also, in the same breath here, want to mention that the Sunshine Tour Ladies Invitational for APSA is happening. And I ask everybody that fouled the gist this weekend to tune in a little bit, to go and watch it. I'm not making any sort of, but go and support them as well. Go and engage with their social media posts, because that's an incredible event that's also coming up on the back of LIV. And then, Arthie, I just want to hold a second on the Southern Guards. To Louis and his team for the initiation to get this event going, and obviously the team behind all of that at LIV that made this happen. But thank you for not just the duty of playing incredible golf, but thank you for holding the crowd and for engaging with the crowd the way that you do, because this event would have added more effort to them than what they normally be at an event.
Listen, their schedules from the Monday to the Sunday is a lot more busier than, let's call it, the other players.
For sure.
You know, they had to represent from probably the Monday or the Tuesday with the pro-am, do a lot more media press conferences and stuff like that. So it is a massive week for them and a busy week for them. I reckon they're still recovering from the week. And it's a lot. I think it was a lot for them. I was actually... back the Southern Guards, and I think they performed really well considering it's the first LIV event in SA. There's so much weight on their shoulders. They had to engage and do a lot more things that they would at other events, and I think they held up very well. And to Charles as well with his back.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable for sticking it out there for those 4 days. It's a massive weight, eh?
I didn't see the pain on him once. And we know he had pain.
I saw a couple of shots on Sunday where he put his hand on his back, I think, a little bit.
Okay.
So I think it was there.
Yeah.
It was definitely there. And you could also tell by his round on
There's
Sunday.
There's no doubt, yeah.
I mean, he still shot 2 under par, which is well done around that golf course with a spasm back. But, I mean, he still contributed so well for the team.
Yeah, so to Bermie also, I think you made extra effort in every single hole.
He was our entertainer.
You know, just the entertainment. And then backing it up with the golf. And again, Arthur, that's what I'm saying about the live event, and I don't want to keep repeating myself, but Bermie and the Southern Guards can bring this event. They can bring the spirit.
Let's not forget golf isn't brilliant. The Minister of Sport as well. Gaetan McKenzie had a huge impact because I think that they only wanted to have the first event in 2027.
Okay.
And don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure of it. Gaetan says, no, we're doing it in 2026. So I think he was a massive say in it too.
I mean, we drove past him a few times, walked past him, and he kept saying to me, hey, Masakind. And he was just there every day. He didn't have security around him. He was just there.
No,
but it's 100%, you know, and I think the team feels the same way about Gaetan McKenzie. And just finish off Bermie and Charles and Brandon and Louis, purely from a fan perspective, we are so grateful for everything you guys have put in. And I'm so glad that the results have shown that the effort was worth it.
Mm.
Because to do all of this, to put the show up, to have the brilliant golf that they played and it not landing, would have been disappointed. But all of it came together incredibly well.
They still won the tournament for me
at
the end of the week, not from a result perspective, but just from engaging with the fans, in putting up a show, being present, being normal human beings. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, well done to them.
But I want to keep you in segmented subject, so don't jump with me too much here. So the Southern Guards, and then let's just talk about the Southern Guards, where I personally believe the right team won. The best team for me won. The best players for me on the week won. Because Bryson also put up an incredible show, an incredible amount of golf, and the finish that we had, you know, and then the shot on the 18th, you know. I want to just ask everybody, you would have a much better insight into this and probably guess, but what was the club that Bryson hit on the 18th from the playoff?
I think it was a 5-wood, but Bryson has... His bag is just Bryson DeChambeau. So if I'm not mistaken, he's got a crank 3-wood and 5-wood, but it's definitely not a traditional 3-wood and 5-wood club. If I'm not mistaken, his 3-wood is 11 degrees and his 5-wood is 13 degrees or something. Don't quote me.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone can comment and correct us on this. But that he's got, it's basically a 2-wood and a 3-wood type of a thing, but I would say people call it a 3 and a 5-wood. So I think he hit a 5-wood on his second shot, which goes a lot longer than a 5-wood, obviously. That guy smashes a golf ball, it's crazy.
So we're all golf lovers, but can you just take a moment for everybody to understand a little bit of what that golf shot, I mean, he had his ball below his feet. He had no real stability on the ground that he was on because it was wet.
Yes.
And he barely touched the grass.
So, listen, I think the drop was to his advantage.
Yes.
100%. The relief, free drop.
Yeah.
And the ball was lying clean when he dropped it. He had like the perfect patch there. But, yes, the ball was below his feet. That ball could have gone left into the stands. It could have gone way right past the stands. He didn't have stability because it was wet. To pull off a shot like that is world class. Like, there's so many factors to knob it up. Do you know what I'm saying? I could use other words.
No, you're spot on.
In that circumstance, John Rahm also hit it in the bunker.
Yeah.
Which maybe freed him up, took a little bit of pressure off him to hit the green. But, man, to hit that green from there in those conditions is world class. Like, if I just hit it over that bunker to the right, short of the green, I would have been happy. For him to hit it where he did, and he probably should have made eagle too. Yeah. He didn't need it. Was just world class. But I also want to go back.
No.
When you said the right team won, if you look at the last 2 days, the person who won that event for them wasn't Bryson DeChambeau.
No, it was
Anirban Lahiri.
Correct.
He went 63-63.
Yeah.
So
glad you mentioned that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So to all the South Africans, I'll send you his address in India if you just want to go, you know, toughen him up a little bit. But he did it for them. I think he was the deciding factor. I mean, he, on the par three on his last hole of the day, I think hit it to like 8 foot and made the birdie putt, and he finished the round off strong.
Yeah.
Paul Casey also chipped in on his last hole.
Absolutely. I didn't know he had South African ties. I didn't know that.
So, I mean, there's another one. Paul Casey chipped in. Yep. So there's already two shots. We lost by a shot.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, we could have won it on the last hole. It wasn't done on hole 17. Mm. You know, Bryson could have not up and downed.
Yep.
And then Brandon make the putt. We yep. win it yep. outright. Or Brandon makes it and he ups and downs and it's a playoff. So it was entertaining to the last chip, yeah. I would say.
And Bermie, the Sunday start was 4 birdie start, ne?
He started off on like house on fire. We had a 9-shot lead.
Yeah, but what he is, because there was definitely, we lost it on the second nine.
When they started not making putts.
Yes.
And when I say that, it was good putts that they just didn't sink. I mean, they were shaving edges, just missing it here and there. And I think the weather played against us, because think about it. Water goes onto the green. The pace is different. It's going to break different. And some of the guys just made more putts than them.
Yeah, some guys adapted better and quicker.
Correct.
Yeah.
And listen, the pressure was there, you know, for them to win. But I'm sure they were so present in doing what they needed to do that they were just trying to get the job done. I mean, they did it could have been way worse.
Yeah.
You know, after the first, like, 5-6 holes of the tournament,
yeah.
I think we were lying 5th or 6th. We had a slow start to the tournament. I'm like, I think all the not necessarily the pressure, but their job to start off the event, from media to entertaining guests to, you know, all of that could have weighed up on their shoulders a little bit. And, man, they grinded it out, eh? They did a good job. And I'm excited for next year, too. I think it's even going to be better.
I think so, too. And just the last thing on the Southern Gods and the teams there for me, I'm just also very proud, again, of all the South Africans of, obviously, we wanted the Southern Gods to win, mm. and we all understand the reasons for that. But the moment it switched to, it's the Crushers that's going to beat us, Bryson and Rom is going to be in the playoff and going to be the deciding factor. It was just amazing to me. No one booed, mm. no one went negative, and it's like that entire support for the Southern Gods just shifted towards the Crushers and Bryson and Rom. And then we just stood back and said, okay, now we've got two of the best players in the world playing off on a local course in South Africa. And in my opinion, and you, I would like to get your opinion on this, but I think we kicked the ass of the PGA event this weekend as well.
Oh, 100%.
120%. You couldn't have done a better scripted finish for the first event in South Africa.
Yeah. It's such a tough one because, I mean, the PGA Tour is, let's call it Mr. Golf out there in the world. I mean, the PGA Tour is still bigger.
Yeah.
It's still,
yeah, of course,
a juggernaut. And it's such a tough conversation because I'm always going to be Switzerland on this. Like, I'm not saying PGA's mm. tour is mm. poor and the LIV's tour, and,
yeah.
you know. And I don't necessarily want to compare to. But if I had to turn on the TV and watch for a couple of hours, I would probably want to watch LIV.
Yeah.
Rather than the PGA Tour. It's a tough conversation for me to get nasty on this, but it's just boring.
Yeah.
It's not like the players are boring.
No.
The production is boring. I'm not saying there needs to be music.
Yes, yes.
The commentators sound like they're half asleep.
Yeah.
And they're limited to say the right things.
Yes, yes.
And also, like, they only show who they want to show.
Yeah,
yes. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They don't show the guys grinding it out to make the cut on Friday, and
yeah.
they're finished to make the cut, and that to me is more interesting than watching the leader finish the last hole.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying? So from a production point of view, I think the PGA Tour has lost it. Because when we turn on the TV, and yes, it's the PGA Tour, we hardly see any South Africans.
Yeah.
We see who they want to showcase.
Yeah.
And sometimes that is just boring, you know. Yeah. Let's watch the guy struggling too.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is going to spark a lot of comments. And like I said, I see there's been, with all the positive, let's call it videos that have gone out at social media, there are still those live haters.
Yeah.
And like I said to one guy, they're hating the change, right? Back in the day with cricket, IPL was frowned upon.
Mm.
It was Indian-owned, Indian-based, nothing against India's, just how it is.
Yeah.
And all the old traditionalist cricketers want one day in Test cricket.
Yes.
And now today, T20 is the number one format out there in the world.
Yeah.
Globally.
Yeah.
They've got the Big Bash in Oz. Now they've got a T20 in America. They've got a T20 in Canada. They've got a T20 locally. It's the number one, let's call it, format in cricket. And I'm not saying LIV is going to be number one and take over the PGA Tour, but that's just a good comparison to say change is good.
Yeah.
It's good for
golf. Disruption is good.
Disruption is good. Yeah. Look what it did for golf in South Africa.
Yeah.
And to add to that, South Africa can host major events.
Yes.
Whether it's golf, whether it's rugby, whether it's soccer, whether it's cricket, whatever you want to call
it. Formula One, hopefully soon.
We know how to host because of our people.
Yeah.
Not because we have all the money in the world and we have the dollar to our advantage. Our people know how to showcase an event. Our people know how to just be South Africans, if you get what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And, I mean, why don't we have a President's Cup in the next couple of years here, guys? I mean, we have the audience. We have the golf courses. We have everything that you would need at a fraction of the cost.
Yeah.
You know,
but LIV is much more relatable to a President's Cup than what the PGA is.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, with no doubt about that. To me, it is the President's Cup.
That's why I mentioned that. Yeah, 100%. And the PGA Tour and the European Tour, whoever's involved in the President's Cup, just get Trevor involved, Trevor Umerman.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, we can host another President's Cup.
Yeah.
And I promise you, it's going to be good for golf.
Global
golf.
For sure.
I was just throwing that out there. And the nice thing about everything, it gets you thinking a bit differently because of after this event. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's just so good for the golf industry regardless. So,
an event like this, and we tend to forget about it, it creates hope. It creates an energy, and I think that's what you were just referring to, and hopefully that translates into other opportunities for us as well. Because I think the world forgets what we did at the World Cup. People forget these things because it goes out of mind, out of sight. And I think a lot of people that were thinking of hosting events, whether it's the Formula One management this morning or whether it's the President's Cup, have looked at this and gone, there's an African flair to this.
100%.
That can't be replicated anywhere else in the world.
If you go back to the 2010 Soccer World Cup, if you had to ask players, spectators from all around the world, they would probably say that World Cup is probably one of the best World Cups they've ever gone to.
For sure.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I think South Africa is in a good place. I think it's just a little reminder to all the South Africans that, listen, we can still do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I hope that LIV Golf South Africa sparks a lot more attention to other brands of sports.
Yeah.
And showcase how well we can host things.
Thanks, Arthi. And I just want to move us a little bit in a direction here, if you don't mind. So I want to talk a little bit about independent media and independent brands.
Mm.
So independent brands for me, I want to, you know, I hate the idea of a shout out because it means we something. I'm more talking about Itu Golfwear.
Yeah, but giving them the attention that they deserve.
Itu Golfwear, incredible African look, feel. A lot of people wore them this weekend. It was really exciting for me to see an independent brand in the
local
midst.
Brand.
Yeah, in the midst of all the big international brands that are there. And obviously it relates to me a little bit of the Southern Gods obviously changing their clothing designs and name and producer of the clothing just before the event, which also made quite a bit of a splash. And as you know, it sold out everywhere. It's why That's you're why wearing, I'm wearing Allegiance. The talk. It's the talk. Sorry, the talk shirt this morning.
I had to buy some merch, and this was the only thing. Well, not only thing.
Oh, I mean, it's a beautiful talk.
It's still such a nice. Yeah.
And I feel, I feel like I want to support all the teams. I really don't have. I feel like I'm in with all the. I wear their stuff
but
anyway.
Going to that, that's actually a good point. The amount of South Africans that also wore other teams' clothing and brands.
It's amazing.
Their hats.
Yeah.
It just shows you, I mean, that we are just different.
We're different.
And I'm telling you, inside their hearts, they want Southern Gods to win. It's not about that.
Completely.
But you're supporting something bigger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So sure. It's pretty cool.
I think we have the same mindset in the Rugby World Cup. You know, when we play New Zealand in the finals, of course you're South African, and that's who you want to beat. But at the same time, you have this incredible gratitude and humbleness about the fact that we're playing them.
Yes.
And you almost support them, but not support them in the moment.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah, listen, I would, wouldn't be upset losing to... I mean, I'd always be upset losing in a World Cup final. But New Zealand would hurt a little less.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Okay,
the goat track, because the goat track, the media side for me, I thought there was brilliant questions asked.
100%.
Completely different angle than traditional media. The Super M and...
Stumpy
moment we had on top of it. I mean, what a disruption. And what I mean is, you look at a post-conference... press conference, you look, some of it can be boring, and then you go, the questions that this guy comes with. And I don't know what his name is. Forgive me for not having that name right now on the show, but it was the Goat Track was one of the guys that asked incredible questions. So I just want to congratulate the independent 100%. Media, outside of the big budget ones, for what you've done. Robbie Cruz also, I liked Robbie Cruz over the weekend.
TikTok post.
Yeah, the 31st or something like that, most influential golfer. He sort of mocks that a little bit. But how he arrived, the energy that he brought, because we know it takes effort and edits and a lot of time
Listen,
to put
you're
this
engaging
together.
And you're losing being in the moment at the event. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So it's still, like, that's the one thing with me. Like, I am more a moment guy than a camera guy.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I hardly took any photos and videos and because I'm in the moment.
Yes.
Like, I get distracted with my phone, which probably I need to be better at because I've got access to a lot of the tournaments and. So, you know, you live and you learn. But all these guys, and also Ben Kopinski.
Yeah.
I mean, he also did an unbelievable job with, you know, the media press conferences and the questions, and it was just raw South African, true South African, and it was so engaging. It wasn't boring. Like, go watch a press conference at other tours. Those players do not want to be sitting there at the press conference.
No.
A Rory McIlroy does not want to sit at a press conference.
Because it's commercial.
They don't want to listen to these media guys like overseas with asking them stupid questions and live PGA related questions and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just
to create clickbait for them.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Now Rory's got an issue with Liv and John Rahm and this and this and that. And it looks like Rory is talking on behalf of John Rahm and you know what I mean? We're here at the Liv event, everything was just raw, pure. South African, and it was unbelievable, and it got me engaged at night, you know, when I was lying in bed,
big time,
you know, flicking through
Kubani Bobo, Brian Abana, but all of them, we know them, and it's not that I'm not mentioning them, but we all know them, we all saw their posts, they are the big celebrities, but this podcast is a little bit about the underdogs.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a little bit about the underdog people and the things, you know, because it's also a little bit of who we are.
Yeah.
But I thought they did. I mean, that to pull that information out of Burmese where he was like chirping Rory about Rory saying it's never going to work in South Africa.
Yes.
You know, the questions to pull that out of Burmese, and I could see Burmese had a moment there where he was like, you know, you say it can't happen. And then I see their post did the same thing on Instagram. They would make this post like, people saying it won't work, and then they show the crowds and the excitement and the energy that came through. So just incredible editors locally also that we have.
And also that, I mean, that I think the Nedbank's most ever spectators for a Nedbank.
Yeah.
2019, 76,383.
Okay.
Was the biggest ever attendance for spectators as a local event in South Africa for a golf event. So, I mean, they did unbelievable. And remember, Sun City is a massive, 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 massive event. Place.
Yeah.
Logistically, it makes sense because I think they've got one, two, three, four hotels and the vacation club. So they've got access to all of that. But, I mean, to have over 100,000, and I think the Australians are cucking in their pants a little bit.
Big time. Big time.
And there's a massive friendly rivalry. It's not like a hate.
No doubt.
Between Aussies and South Africans. Big and you time. Can basically
even
say,
the fans.
Yeah.
You know, we did it better. They're going, we did it better.
100%.
You know, I mean, love it. But it's all beautiful.
There's no hate to the Aussies. No. They also put up a massive good show.
Yeah.
And Aussies are going to be Aussies and South Africans are going to be South Africans. And I think the difference between Aussies and South Africans are a lot closer than what people think.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
I have a question for you before you get into that.
No.
Because I wasn't there on the Sunday because tickets were sold out. And if you had to compare the South African national anthem to an Ellis Park... with how many can Ellis Park take? 70,000 people versus the national anthem on the 18th green. Give us a comparison because I heard people saying it sounded louder than a stadium.
I'll tell you my summary of it, which I summarized to somebody yesterday. On the rugby, when that moment comes, I think it's a moment where all South African people have a moment to stand together and sing one thing together for the purpose of what's about to happen.
And it's a tradition to do it before the tee off. So whether Correct. You do it or not, or sing to it or not, it's going to be done.
It's going to be done. For me, Sunday was the naturality of it. And what I felt was it wasn't shouting it. Like you know when you're watching the rugby game and that anthem comes, you sort of stand up and you shout it.
Screaming it, yeah.
You're screaming it. To me, it felt like it was a soft, but obviously the amount of people gave it loudness.
Oh, yes.
To me, it felt so sincere and natural. That was a slight difference to me, that it was that moment where South Africans were just almost, it was coming to an end. We wanted to capture the moment or savor the moment a little bit longer. And our way for Bryson to walk to the putt was to honor and respect the tournament by shouting out the national
Singing
anthem.
Out.
And I want to also mention that the entire national anthem was just as loud as any
it whether Afrikaans
doesn't
part
matter.
Part
it doesn't it, matter. Yeah. It was as loud as anything, and to me that was super special. And the youth, the amount of kids that could say the words incredibly well, because that's somebody speaking Afrikaans turning into English. We all have barriers of language and some translation lost. But to me that was the thing that I will never forget, the naturality of it. Because no one directed it. No one started the national anthem for you to join. It felt like it just came out of nowhere. And I want to almost found the crowd that started it, you know. And before you know it, everybody was just part of it.
It was super crazy. You know, I actually didn't realize they sang the national anthem until I saw it on Instagram. The other thing that we can add to, or I can add to that is, if you had to just view being there the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, and you were this there the Sunday, the demographic of people that were there?
Incredible.
There were, I mean, my three-year-old was with me. My three-year-old went to Black Coffee with me. He had such a jaw. It was unbelievable.
I swim
for
on
him.
Your shoulders, yeah.
And there were teenagers. There were 18, 19-year-old girls there. There were different walks of life, you know, like everyone there, it wasn't just golfers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for me, that grows the game. It grows the game for the kids.
Yeah.
Here's another thing.
But it was also the intent of LIV owners and management.
100%.
You know, which is a compliment, incredible compliment to them.
It was so widespread that whether you were a golf fan or not, it was entertaining enough for those people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all the players did such a good job. And we can also talk about Bryson. This is a point I wanted to make earlier. Bryson sometimes took an hour or to 45 minutes to sign every single kid's cap.
Yep.
Okay. I'll tell you now what he did there, and also let's call it our media, whether it's Supersport, the Goat Track, whoever it was, showcasing what he actually did.
The bounds and all of that.
Correct. I'm telling you, Bryson's fans have increased tremendously. Because he is just a normal human being. There's nothing special about him.
YouTube did golf. A lot of that.
What Bryson did for the kids, unbelievable. I mean, did you see he was at that driving range?
Yeah.
Close to Peak and Wood, interacting.
Yeah, and he took a driver, a mini driver or her length of driver, and he hit a shot with it.
Yeah. I mean, where in your life?
And his safari outfit. Did you see it was like a safari type of outfit?
He probably went to Pilansburg on the way back.
Yeah.
But where in your life would a person or player like Bryson do that? Do you know what I mean?
He's like a man of the people.
To take your time to give someone 30 minutes of however long it was is just unbelievable. I honestly, there are even local South African people, Sunshine Tour players, who probably wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And they're not even on the magnitude of Bryson
DeChambeau. Yeah.
So well done to him. I mean, flipping out.
Listen, I think it's, you know, I don't want to come from the sideline here, but we understand, we're a little bit older now, we understand, you know, you're in the game and there's going to be days that he's not going to be in signature mode because he's playing for, you know, a playoff hole, you know, or, but it's
felt said,
like.
But he said on TV, you will hear it because I actually watched on Sunday, I wasn't at the golf course, so you can hear it.
Yeah.
There were kids standing between holes.
Yes.
With their caps and thing. He said, not now, after the round, I'll see you later.
Yes, yeah.
He acknowledged them and said he could see their caps and signatures and pens and they wanted it. And he said, after the round, I'll do it for you. So he engaged super well with them.
Yeah, but for me, there's a balance, you know, between you're there for professional golf, but at the same time, it's the people that make it work.
Mm.
It's the ones that tune into the TV. It's the ones that buy the grounds passes.
Mm.
You know, it's the ones that go there, arrive, wake up early in the morning, plan the night before, take umbrellas with, to me, pack the bag. Those are real heroes in all of this because...
Heroes.
What am I? Again, live still coming
live
down
bubble
from
us.
It. Live, Papalas. To me, that's the real heroes because in any business, you know, you can run the best of anything in business, but if there's no customers that appreciate what you do and there's no attention to them, it's going to last for 6 months and then fall flat. Mm. And I think they've just done an absolute tremendous job on all of that. And it excites me again what's coming next year. And from my side, it's really the final thoughts is that the ground staff that woke up every day, the securities that let everything flow in, the people that served you the drinks and got you the food, every single time you went to the bathroom, somebody went back into the bathroom and cleaned the bathroom.
Mm.
To me, why I'm so proud of all of that is because it just shows the care and the attention to detail that we have on this. And for all of those people, you know, I hope everybody greeted them the same way and treated them the same way. And I made effort specifically around our friendship groups to thank them for what they do. Because to me, that's what ultimately makes it work. Because it's wonderful to watch this thing and go there, Arthur, but at some stage you need to go to the bathroom and pee, as an example.
I mean, the guys
you need to eat something to carry on for the day.
The guys carrying those massive cooler box bags on their back to carry around all the beers.
Big time.
To walk around that golf course.
Big time.
Is a job on its own.
Big time.
I mean, I woke up on Saturday morning pushing a pram around the course Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
So let's call it same.
Yes.
My legs were sore.
Correct.
So also, like, you know, those, like you said, those small things. I mean, people don't understand. Those guys carrying the beers are also the heroes.
Big time.
And listen, I know there were a couple of comments and saying there weren't enough bars and the drinks took slow.
Yeah.
It is the first live event. People did not understand how it was going to be for their first year.
Yeah.
There was no example for them to understand what to expect.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you the LIV team, the South African, the Chris Bentleys and the Carrolls of the LIV for South Africa are going to better that. I'm sure about that.
No doubt about that.
That doesn't even bother me.
Yeah.
So to all those people, yes, it was a mission for some.
Yeah,
but it's all lessons for the week, and I definitely think they'll improve it on next year.
Yeah, and also to the more privileged, the residents of Stain City, for giving up your course and your time. We appreciate it tremendously. To everybody that worked there, literally across the station, to book your tickets in, to see through, to get the flow going. And we are going to miss a few people on this one, but I just want to say one South African to another South Africans, to all of you that's performed in this, just incredible. Yeah. I'm sure, the notes that I've got in front of me, we will absolutely be able to carry on, and maybe we do a follow-up backup, and not a recap again on LIV, but maybe how do we take this momentum forward into other things, you know, in golf, and what lessons can the Bushveld Tour, as an example, the upcoming tours, there's some other things that I think could benefit from this and what we've seen and learned from this as an example. So to all the South Africans in my summary that showed up, to the Southern Guards that put up the show, to all the teams that flew down here, to the management and owners of LIV Golf, for investing all this money into a tour that we can all benefit from and see. And this is not a rant to go on and on a thank you tour, but I think we just this weekend reflected who we are, South Africans. We were truly and grateful and appreciative for what everybody put up, and we showed respect. Our thank you for that was the way we showed up, the way we respected it, the long days it was long days. For all of that is how we showed a big thank you from all of us. So yeah, that's it for me.
100%.
Any final thoughts on your side?
Yeah, for me, I think to let's call it wrap it up. I actually wanted to message Dean Burmy on Saturday night. I mean, they obviously went into the final day in the lead, and I thought, you know what, let me not do this. But I wanted to message them to pass on to the team and say, whether you guys win or not,
yeah,
you guys are winners already from the week that they've just put together, right?
Completely.
So sort of just to say, you know what, your job's done.
Yeah.
And you haven't even teed off on Sunday.
Yeah.
So whether they won or not was irrelative to the South Africans, because they put up a show, let's call it the whole LIV experience for the spectators and the fans was just unreal. And regardless if they win or not, you know, I think South Africa would be proud regardless. And then I thought, let me not say that. Let me just leave them alone. Let them stay in their own bubble. But to them, that would have been my message to them on Saturday night going into Sunday. And they were winners on Sunday night to the South Africans as well.
The traction that Carol Lorenz's podcast had was just the absolute thing. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of views. So we're incredibly grateful for that.